live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 265. 265, I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined momentarily by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. Tonight, folks, we got NFL coming back. Colts had their first preseason game, so we'll talk little thoughts on the Colts, some news around notes around the NFL. College football, the polls are out. The first polls of the year are out, so we'll talk a little college football polls. NBA, talk a little NBA. Let me tell you this, if you haven't heard this before, James Harden is not happy. Tell me if you've heard that one before, folks. We're going to talk this whole James Harden thing. I've got a couple documentaries that I've watched lately on Netflix, the sports, a couple of good ones that you're going to want to check out, so we'll talk that more. Looking forward to that. But as always, I can't do this show by myself. I've got my co-host, John the Bird, from JB. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, man. Good to be back on the Crossbow Sports Podcast. You know what I'm saying? Getting ready to chop it up, man. I know we got a lot of football to talk about and cover. But I know, as I kind of listened in, I heard you kind of, chime in about James Harden. We'll get into all that as well. You know what I'm saying? I got some stuff about FIBA. There was some exhibition games, you know what I mean? Hey, Brandon, if you can't get overhyped about preseason, I mean, exhibition for FIBA game, man, what can't you get overhyped about? But, like, no, there's some good things to
training
come out
camp
of that
stat.
As well. Right. Well, hey, man, shout out to Reggie, man. But listen, man, no, in all seriousness, man, we got a little bit to talk about. And, let's kick it off.
Absolutely. Indianapolis Colts, John, first preseason game up in Buffalo. They lose 23-19 in their preseason opener. Anthony God Richardson, as most Colts fans like to call him right now, debuted. Uh-oh. Went out 7 of 12, 67 yards. First drive of the game, John. Third plap. Just lap interception.
Welcome to the NFL,
kid. The king, his Aaronus, whatever you want to call him, the next anointed one. Not a great debut. Garner Minshew had a better performance, I thought, personally, but struggles for Anthony Richardson to start. It was named today. Shane Steichen said Anthony Richardson is going to be week one starter. Not a shocking revelation for that to be. They're going to go ahead and start that process now. But as I was talking with people over the weekend, John, a lot of them are like, they're kind of in my boat where you're not too sure of Anthony Richardson, as I said a few weeks ago, and even we had Justin Fox on. My concern with Anthony Richardson, they're like, well, you want to see how he's different when he gets in front of NFL talent, and he's going to get better. Hello? Do we not remember the SEC has more NFL talent than anybody else in the league in college football? This is also the same Anthony Richardson last year that lost to Vanderbilt football.
Hey, man.
We lost, to Vanderbilt football. Same Richardson. I can keep bringing up his stat. You want to talk stats for the training camp.
Right.
You know,
well, the collegiate stats don't really, right.
And, yeah, it's going to take time for the kid. He is a kid because he's way younger than us. But these Colts fans, man, that still think this guy is the Lord and Savior, I think you're going to see sadly mistaken. This dude, let me bring
not
up the year.
If you want to do that, so, like, that's what I kind of look at it, Brandon. I look at it with a frustrating eyes and ears, man, because when I look at him, he looks like a young, if we could put in basketball terms, those kind of remind you of, like, hey, man, when Jonathan Bender, when he turns that corner. But unfortunately, when Jonathan Bender never turned the corner. But there was other guys that turned, Al Harrington turned the corner, you know what I mean? Jermaine O'Neal, you know what I mean? But, you know, this is where he's a developmental kind of quarterback. It's kind of where we're at with him. He's got some Tebow-esque numbers in his first debut, man, you know what I'm saying? the accuracy is not there. So the criticism is warranted in that regard. Does he got some wiggle? Can he extend the play? Absolutely. Does he know the playbook? Absolutely. You don't have to. There's some things you don't necessarily have to worry about. But to be a quarterback, the main thing you have to be worried about is the accuracy. And, you know what I'm saying, I guess, you know, somebody else took blame for the blocking, you know what I'm saying, they weren't partners, the running back or whatever at the time. He took the blame saying he didn't know he was supposed to, you know, go left and then right, whatever the case may be that day. But, like, at the end of the day, Ben, Richardson still has to throw the ball away. You know what I'm saying? So, the frustrating, and like I said, to add to the frustrating part is the other saga with the coach, the drama that is Jonathan Taylor, because if you're telling your fan base that Anthony Richardson is going to be the starter week day one, and they told us day one week one, then you expect to struggle bus kind of a coach team where, okay, how much are you really going to put blame on the offensive line this year? How much blame are you going to put on the defensive line when the quarterback is constantly going three and out? Because that's what it's kind of going to be. In the first year, that kid, and again, somebody's going to say, well, you only seen one preseason game. Hey, man, we've seen enough to understand that is kind of a developmental kind of guy. Got a lot of speed on him. That's the really what you like. And you like the fastball. And he got a deep ball. But the accuracy, like, man, he needs Brett Favre-like accuracy. And he don't have it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, this is also, you know, everybody loved this Anthony Richardson. Yeah, they went out and beat Utah first game of the season, 29-26. Then they decided to lose their next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their last.
You didn't pull the SEC stats?
Oh, I got them right here, man. I got them right here. Let me show you your stats here, Mr. Anthony Richardson. Let's see. He played 12 games last year, 53% completion percentage. Not sure if that's good or not. 17 touchdowns, 9 picks, John. Let's see here. He was 9th in the SEC in passing attempts, 10th in yards. He was 17th. Not 17th. He was number 9th out of 14 teams in touchdowns. He's in the SEC last year with 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the dude.
So we look at that.
It's a struggle. I don't want to be hearing people saying, man, this guy's it. This guy's the, you know, I heard the two words this past week before this game. I heard SB, and it's that last game of the year. I heard that from Colts fans. I had to clean my ears out. I hear what I thought I heard with this. It's going to take some time. You don't even know if this is the dude.
So what is it? Let's talk hypotheticals real quick, brother. All right. So if this kid doesn't flash the way you want him to flash, what do you do next year? Because everybody and their mother in around here wants Marvin Harrison Jr. And I get that would be like glorious. But, like, if you don't have quarterback answer, Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to really, you know what I'm saying, it'll upgrade the offense. But, like, there's other quarterbacks that me and you graded higher, you know what I'm saying, even though they're still in college, than he was. I thought Anthony Richardson, I'm not going to be an overcritic. I think Anthony Richardson play NFL football. Okay, Brandon? I'm saying this is a project in the relationship of, like, a Jonathan Bender. We got to figure out what he really, you know what I'm saying? But if you get next year, let's say the Colts finish, you know, they win 5 games, 6 games, whatever, right? And you get to next year and you're looking at, like you said, okay, the kid from USC, the other kid from North Carolina, you know what I'm saying? Whoever, you know, there's going to be another little dark horse that pops up out of that one of these daggone Texas teams. The daggone dude from Texas, you know, himself, you know what I'm saying? So there's going to be better talent out there. So maybe it's kind of like what the coach is thinking, man. Go out there and see what he can do, man. Why try to, you know, internally, like, no, that you can win. So Gardner Minshew starting, where does that put you back at, Brandon? Two more games? What did I say, six? And now you even won eight games, nine games?
Right.
Playing that game? So, like, don't play that game. Because, like, winning nine games kind of takes you out of those lottery. You know what I'm saying? Content to get one of those top four or five quarterbacks that's going to come out next year. So, I don't know, man. The Colts, this is what they got, man. You have to – if you're a fan, though, Brandon, you know you kind of got to support it. I kind of see the positives in this game. But unfortunately, right now, there's a whole lot more negatives.
I call it a disrespect for people to compare Anthony Richardson to Cam Newton. I think it's 100% disrespectful to Cam Newton.
I would agree with that, man. Just because he's about to say, what, he's the same height, maybe the same build. Cam Newton, what he did at Auburn was, you know what I'm saying? He's blind in speed. And he can throw, you know what I mean? We haven't seen that.
And those birds are loud there, JB.
Any one game. You said whatever? Yeah, I know, man. I know it's crazy, dude. But Anthony Richardson, not yet, man. Not yet.
Okay.
Cam Newton, not yet.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
And that's rare air, John, to be in that upper quartile. For them.
You better leave Brother Jimmy alone, man. And I want to know, he said the top four. I don't know, man. Pittsburgh got to be in the top four. They damn self. Pittsburgh, Green Bay.
Top four what?
Go back. He said the top four since 2000. The top winning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's play
one
more time.
I'm like, man, I don't know.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
Nah, man. Somebody needs to check that math, bro.
That's Steelers,
nobody,
Patriots,
nobody.
Packers.
He said since 2000.
Yeah. Packers have been good. Steelers have been good. Patriots
right.
have been good.
He's considering Andrew Luck years, Peyton Manning.
Who?
But there was like Phillip. He's considering Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. That's what
I didn't know. I don't know who that first one is. Andrew somebody.
Oh, man. Damn. You didn't cast. You didn't
You're
cast
asking me back? Dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus.
You didn't cast out Andrew Luck.
Yeah, he's done. It's over. Jonathan Taylor, John. Everybody's like, oh, my God, Jonathan Taylor's back. He's back to camp today in Westfield. All right. He still feels the same. Like nothing's changed, people.
He's still he's still pitching,
I think he may have a hold in instead of a hold out. Now,
right.
Jonathan Jacobs is doing a hold out, but I think Jonathan Taylor does a hold in. Zach Martin, it worked for him because with Dallas because he was getting fined with all the practices he missed up to about $1 million,
right.
And he just signed his extension and has $8 million guaranteed. Well, that doesn't take a math addition to say that that was the right move for him too. So
right.
But,
he didn't want to play anywhere else either. So
yeah. Let me ask you this.
Well. Yeah.
How
yeah.
does it for you? What's your thought process? We had the running backs kind of go yesterday. Alvin Cook signs with the Jets. Zeke Elliott, the Patriot, cuts all the hair off. How those signings, was it $7 million and $8 million, I think, one deals for each person?
Dalvin signed for like 8.8, yeah.
How does that play into the Jonathan Taylor saga? Does that make it worse for him, in your opinion, or does that help his case? Because I think it hurts it.
I think it hurts this as well, man. So, like, either you sign, like, the NFL ain't gonna budge. It looks like you signed this $11 million, $12 million, you know what I'm saying, franchise tag. And that's kind of where they're going with the run. That's unfortunate, man. That's kind of bad business, is it not? So, like, the last paid running back that got a multi-year deal was the homie down in Tennessee. That's it. Nobody else can get a multi-year deal. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, see, there's nobody. You're not going to sign up a running back for 2 years, 7 years. But we also understand that there's an important role that the running backs play. Otherwise, you know, say Dalvin Cook, they wouldn't have been so much of a – he was between the Jets and Miami. Where he wanted to go, you know what I mean, and potentially those deals with him on either one of those teams could affect because the tipping point of their chances to win the AFC. Because let's be honest, there's And like Patrick Mahomes, they, hey man, they got it on cruise control, right? And they loosen their minds, you know what I mean? As far as everybody being 100% and managing through the season, they got it on cruise control. And like, man, outside of a hot Cincinnati that got all this things clicking, ain't no, who can stand up? Like, you gotta have weapons. You gotta have offense out there. So the Jets with Dalvin Cook, you know what I'm saying? They said Aaron Rodgers gave up some money, whatever, I don't know. But like, you know what I'm saying, with that defense, they have a competent backup in the kid Wilson from last year. You know what I'm saying? I think the Jets are serious, but they got a lot of teams in front of them that are like are serious as well. So you have to have a run game to support your offense. The Jets, with that picking up, with picking him up, man, they count, and that doesn't necessarily solidify them as like dominant people that they're gonna win the East by any means,
right?
Because still Buffalo is still there, you know what I'm saying? And it's probably gonna be a dogfight between Miami, between everybody in the East. It's gonna be a dogfight just to get out of the East. So like, no, I tip my hat to the signing. And but like you said, yeah, it just kind of hurts Jonathan Taylor's chances of getting a multi-year deal.
Just to say, Najee Harris from my Steelers, he'll be a free agent in 2025. He's got 2 years left. He's making 1.8 this year and then 2.4. If you do the evaluation on this application, it's called overthecap.com. If you go to overthecap.com, they do evaluations and based on how it was last year, last season and all that. Right now they have him valued at $8.5 million. That Najee's next contract should be around $8.5 million per year.
Okay.
And
that's a big jump up. That means that's a big jump up in pay, right?
Yeah.
Going from 1.5, like, you know what I'm saying, to 8. But it's just like, you know, we in this world of guarantees, the NFL contracts aren't even damn guaranteed, even on a 1 year. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
Well, hold on. I think the franchise tag is guaranteed. I do believe.
Yes.
But like these other deals aren't necessarily even guaranteed themselves. So, you know, running backs, we all know in the collective, but the next, you know what I'm saying, collective bargaining agreement is going to be a big change what the players are going to want. Excuse me, a little bit more from that player position. But, yeah. I can see
how the Colts,
getting, you know what I mean?
So the Colts have $19 million in cap space currently right now. Right now. $19 million cap. John, they have $24 million. Actually, let me take that back. They have $25 million in dead money. So, like, they ain't gonna get it back, and it's tied up for the next couple of years in dead money. Can you name me the four people that are into this $25 million?
Well, the homie, I wish the homie Dan Dodgers would call in, man. This is the only time me and him gonna agree. One of them got to be Andrew Luck.
No.
Phillip Rivers.
Nope.
Carson Wentz.
No.
Man. Who am I forgetting, man? Quarterback. Who am I forgetting, man? Not, if it ain't Luck, it ain't Rivers. It ain't Wentz.
Matty Ice.
Is it that? Oh, my goodness. Matty Ice. They're still paying him?
$18 million to Matty Ice.
Right,
this
that's
year.
Right. Because like, he didn't retire.
Nyheim Hines, $3 million. Stephon Gilmore, $2 million. Nick Foles, 1.5.
Oof.
Yeah, it's
the one. So like the one with Matty Ice really hurts. So again, man, that kind of points back to management, not necessarily the play on the field. What the F? And I said F. Were they trading for Matty Ice? I mean, I was like, nah, man. Some people were like, yeah, man, he can turn back time. Oh, shit. No, he can't. You know what I mean? Atlanta, what are they trading for? Was it a second rounder or something?
Maybe.
I can't remember what they even trade, but like, because he's not crazy contractually, he didn't retire.
Right.
Man, the Colts mess, they fudged that all up. You should have used Rich better off. You know what I'm saying? Getting a rookie quarterback last year. You know what, man? Athletically, Anthony Richardson is obviously better than what's the homie's name down in Atlanta that played for Cincinnati?
Desmond Ridder?
Oh, my goodness. Ritter. remember when the Colts had the opportunity to draft him, potentially in the second round or the third round, and then the draft that he came out, and they was like, nah, man. And they, who they get? They ended up going after, was that the same year that Quiddy Pay came out?
I think. No, he, one more. I think we came out the year before.
Okay, but still, they didn't draft a quarterback, and you know you needed one. So, you know,
As of right now, the Colts have $70 million in cap next year. They have $70 million cap next year. Only 51 players are under contract. I don't know. 51 mm-hmm. under contract. In 2025, you have $154 million. You only have 34 players under contract. And 3 years from now, $231 million, you only have 15 players on contract. If that's not a rebuild, where you're just trying to put some people on short contracts to see what sticks.
Right. Mm. Right. You see the writing on the wall, y'all. Brandon Reed,
your base salary. So they have $76 million in total cap in 3 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. A third of that money is the base salary for Shaquille Leonard.
Okay.
$22 million.
Wow.
Quentin Nelson at $16 million.
Well, this also doesn't take, like, the cap's going to go up, but you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it'll still be
right.
A bit of a still be a problem. Still, it ain't going to go up that much where that's still going to have to be answered for.
Right.
But if he bounces back, Brandon, it's okay, right? If he bounces back.
He looked slow out there when I was out there. I don't know. I didn't see how he did Sunday or Saturday against the Bills if he played. He probably didn't play.
Yeah, I didn't. Right. I mean, all eyes was on Anthony Richardson in the offense, man. And you know what I'm saying? That wideout still ain't got his contract, man. I ain't going to start nothing, man.
You're ready to start it. You're not going to stop.
Hey, man, what do you think? Go ahead.
I was just saying, speaking on NFL, I watched that Johnny Manziel documentary on Untold on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, if you haven't seen that, holy shit. I will say holy shit. Holy shit. That was a good documentary with Manziel. He was on there just talking about his demons, his trouble, and leading up to the draft and how he had to have a fourth string quarterback take his piss test for him. And then he fell off the wagon the week before coming to Indianapolis for the combine. And here's a true story. Here's a true story for everybody. I was at one point in the same elevator going from the first floor to the second floor with me, one of my employees, Johnny Manziel, and Snoop Dogg. Think about that foursome that was in the elevator. And Johnny's agent, which really was his college buddy or his high school buddy. I still remember it clearly that, yep, there's Manziel on one side of me and there's Snoop on the other. Wild moment. But, dude, crazy. But such a good documentary, and then talks about his bipolarness. I mean, one night he went out on a weekend bender from after his Cleveland ran, and $15 million on a weekend bender.
But, and you ain't even like Michael Jordan, you ain't even Allen Iverson. You guys
talked about
any.
He talked about the scheme they did for signing autographs and the money and stuff, just being $15 million, just or $250,000, just underneath the mattress in the hotel room. Just wild stories. So if you get a chance, Untold on Netflix, Johnny Manziel's story. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long. Really, really good. There's a new one I'm going to watch tonight. It's The Balco, Barry Bonds, and the guy that went to jail. The guy that shot steroids.
You said Barry Bonds and controversy. I'm in it. Barry Bonds and controversy. I'm in it, man. That shit drives me crazy. Balco, when that came out back in the day, drove me nuts, man. I couldn't believe it.
So that doc one just came out this week on there. And then, John, here's my favorite one coming out this fall. It's the documentary on the 2006 or 2007 Florida Gators with Tebow, Aaron Hernandez, Urban Meyer, that Riley Cooper, that entire squad that's been famous for good and bad things. That's going to be a good one.
Well,
that's the last one they're putting out this year.
This is Tim Tebow with the speech?
Yeah.
That's the greatest.
And the Aaron Hernandez that killed the guy while he was in school and it got hidden?
Oh, my goodness.
Allegedly.
Damn. I didn't know that.
Dude, that's coming out. I just saw the trailer for it the other night. Holy cow. Looks good.
Okay.
I think Will Dempster's on that team.
Really? I wanted to get back on the pro tip, man, because you know what I'm saying, everybody knows Brandon Reese is a Steelers fan. If you don't, just check two episodes ago, man, him and Justin Fox, a Ravens fan. Bro, you know what I'm saying, first remove it. But, like, now, man, I want to get you a little bit of assessment on the Steelers. I know they beat the Bucks. They beat Tampa over the weekend. And if you know what I'm saying, that's kind of like a doormat anyway. I think Tampa's going to be a doormat, you know what I'm saying, from one loss anyway. But, like, what were some of your kind of thoughts from – because I know people are like, hey, man, you know, this is Kenny Pickett. You know what I'm saying? It's Kenny Pickett's team now, or at least, you know what I'm saying, under center. So I just kind of just wanted, you know, this is your assessment of, you know, maybe train camp and like game one.
I think we got a quarterback controversy. No, I'm kidding. Mason Rudolph looked good. 7-12, 130 mm-hmm. yards himself. You know, Mitch only threw four passes through a nasty pick. Yeah. But mm-hmm. overall, I was happy. I mean, first possession, Steelers going out and passing. They went pass, run to start. And it wasn't a check down passes. So that's at least a little promising in the preseason. They took on a shitty Tampa Bay team that has Baker Mayfield, John Wolford, and Kyle Trask, three quarterbacks. So not too worried about that. But overall, you know, running-wise, there was no Najee for the week. But Arlen back there with Warren. Warren's going to be a huge battle aspect. But Calvin Austin – the third huge touchdown, that big touchdown catch. He's back from injury. I think he's going to be really good. George Pickens, dude. George Pickens doing George Pickens things. How many times last year, and I posted on Twitter, when you got the Pickens touchdown, and it happened again the other night. I like this team, John. I'm anxious to see how the defense does. Once they get everybody kind of in there. They obviously went and got an offensive tackle. He's not starting. He's on the second team depth chart. So we'll see how he adapts there. But, you know, on defense, you've got, Joey Porter Jr. out there. I don't think he played. Yeah. He didn't play that game. I watched the first like half of it before I went to dinner. But you also have Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson was a huge add to this program. And as well as, I don't think enough people are talking about the pickup they just had a week and a half ago with Quan Alexander, picking him up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a huge, huge pickup there. This team is good. This defense is going to go as far as a healthy T.J. Watt will let them. If they have a healthy T.J. Watt this year, they'll go far.
Let me ask you this. We all know this Pittsburgh Steelers, and I know we're resonating with this man because he's a hater. And there's not a whole lot of haters of the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. If you look up on any daggone likable sports franchises, the Pittsburgh Steelers are probably in the top 10 of any, you know, whether it's basketball, football, whatever. But we all know the Pittsburgh Steelers draft well. They don't miss too much on their draft. They develop well. So even if it is like a second, third, fourth, you know what I'm saying, whatever round guy, like they, you know what I'm saying, it's always kind of propped up. Don't you? I mean, I know you remember Vance McDonald. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? That was a tight end they had for a short time. That kind of showed some explosion, man. But what do you see? So, like, where do you, like, can the team get to the playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, they won the last seven in a row with him last year. I think they are, from what Tomlin said, they're working their way there. It's little goals at a time, consistency, playing hard. I think you first secure your winning season again, like you did last year, which is what, the 18th straight winning season in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about dominance. You want to talk about dominance. I think you start with there. And I think if you get there, you're going to put yourself like they had last year in that position to go to the playoffs. You got to think, John, they were one loss away from having somebody else lose on week 18. If they would have lost, Steelers won, they were going to get in. So,
right.
I do have it. Now, it's a tough AFC, absolutely. But we've seen teams in the past that should be there, and an injury here, an injury there, and they don't. I would not be surprised if they make the playoffs, John, but it would not shock me if it's going to be another year. It wouldn't shock me. So I told you last year I went into it with Kenny, and I was open-minded. We're going to take some losses. And we got hot on that streak, and I was like, here we go. Mm-hmm. They're reeling me in. This year I'm going to start off the same way. Let's see how we do. They got a tough first week. I mean, they take on the 49ers week one. So that's not going to be
easy. That's kind of some of their criticism that the Steelers win, but like, can they win a big game?
Yeah, so they go 49 at home against the 49ers, which that's the good thing, it's at home. Also, they lost Corey Trice, poor Purdue cornerback, lost him to a torn ACL a week and a half ago in practice. So, but yeah, they home against the 49ers and they're home against the Browns. They go to the Raiders. They go to the Texans. If that doesn't at least get you a 3-1 start,
right.
I'll be a little concerned with that. And then they take on the Ravens at home, those scumbags. So, they come to town. But, yeah, you know, look at the schedule, John. Tell me how many games you're scared of in this schedule this year. 49ers, home against the Browns, at the Raiders, at the Texans, home against the Ravens, at the Rams, home against Jags, home against Titans, home against Packers, at the Browns, at the Bengals, home against the Cardinals, home against the Patriots, at the Colts, home with the Bengals, at Seattle, at Baltimore. I see a winning schedule there. I see a lot
of winning schedule there. Schedule. Just because we all know there's going to be some quarterback controversy in New England. It probably started like week two, week three.
Right.
You said a home. Who was so it was, go through that week 4 or 5 one more time.
Yeah, so home 49ers, home Browns, at the Raiders, at the Texans, and then here they got three home coming up. They go then Ravens at the Rams, and then they go home against the Jags, home against the Titans, home against the Packers.
That's gonna be a big game. That's gonna be a bigger, more heavy pressurized game for the Jaguars to go on the road to win in Pittsburgh.
It'll be a little chilly, maybe it's late October.
But like against Texas, it ain't necessarily like CJ Stroud like wowed anybody himself. So that team is, you know, what I'm talking about too, man. Like, nah, man. I just wanted to get kind of some of your thoughts on the Steelers, man. You know what I mean? And you being, you know what I mean, the sports analyst that you are, taking out that fandom.
I do want to say, give me 1 second, real quick. Reggie's brother, Decott, says on Facebook, easiest schedule in the league. Oh, well, actually, it's the eighth easiest. And, you know what the number three easiest schedule in the league is this year? It's your brother's Indianapolis Colts. That's who has the third easiest schedule. And they may still not even get 5 wins or 6.
I said 6. I'm trying to speak it into existence. Where does it have the Detroit Lions? You know what I'm saying?
Detroit Lions, they have the 11th easiest schedule. Do you want to know who has the hardest?
The stars align for Detroit. They got to get to the playoffs. Who has the hardest?
New England Patriots.
Oh, man.
The top 5 hardest are all AFC teams.
They gave Bill Belichick. This is last year, ain't it?
Patriots are 1, Raiders are 2, Dolphins are 3, Bills are 4, and Chiefs are 5. The 5 hardest this year.
That's a little the schedule makers gave the Chiefs. Come on, man. That's not fair.
I know.
That's
not right. They don't like the future Hall of Famer, apparently.
Well, no. I think they should have had a hard schedule, but the 5th hardest. You trying to cakewalk them back to the Super Bowl. That's what I'm trying to say.
Let me.
But okay, go ahead.
Let me move over from college football to the pros real quick.
You mean from the pros to college?
Yeah. Give me 1 second here. Mm-hmm. Let me.
Copyright.
Yep. Didn't play the whole 10 seconds, so we're good there. I got that, but then I need to play this.
Mm-mm.
The bagpipes are coming
back
out.
It ain't going yet.
No. I got to give this to a team, John. The the week one top 25 AP poll came out, and I thought there was a natural disaster happening. And I know we're dealing with one that, you know, I don't want to poke fun of, and it's serious what's going on out there in Maui. But I am worried for the state, the Commonwealth, the people of Alabama and Tuscaloosa, Alabama, John. There's people jumping off their roofs, jumping out of the office building. There's people running out in traffic out there. John, they are hurting, and they're hurting because that first poll came out, and their beloved Alabama Crimson Tide, John, are number four in the AP poll. Not even one, two, not three. Like LeBron would say, fourth. I've heard rumors, John, they're not even the third best team in the SEC.
Well, they got to figure out their quarterback play. They'll have competent quarterback play this year, but they don't have elite quarterback play this year at all.
I'm worried for Alabama fans, John. This is not the way you want to start the season. It's just you just don't want to start with number four when Daddy's not going to be happy. Daddy Nick is not going to be happy.
Nick. Well, they got.
But the question will be: what will the excuse be? What will the Alabama Crimson Tide excuse be this year? Because we have a friend of ours that he always is the middleman. We call him Middleman D.
Oh, wow.
I just want to let you know, I'm concerned for the Alabama team.
Who's the I throw it back and say, who's the clear-cut number one?
Georgia.
I mean, I know who the number one is. You know what I'm saying? But we haven't necessarily seen that offense. They have revamped offense. So we hadn't necessarily. I mean, we'll see it. Ball State's gonna get a eye full of it. Ball State football coming up pretty soon. So I don't necessarily. And quite honestly, man, I don't necessarily see that from a litmus test for Georgia at all. But we got to see what that offense kind of looks like. I think LSU has a better week one, week two matchup.
They play Florida week one. They don't play Florida. They play, who does LSU play week one? I just saw it a second ago.
Just because they have a veteran team and they don't necessarily have they didn't have a whole lot of, you know, saying changeover. Terry, you know what I mean?
They play Florida State week one. LSU does. 5-8.
Yeah, we know Florida State's pissy because they're only getting $30 million.
John, week one, Alabama's got Memphis State now, so don't.
Memphis State? You said Memphis State?
Middle Tennessee, John. I mean, we got LSU playing Florida State, but Alabama, they got to get their cupcakes in because they ain't going to be able to get them
in
here in a couple of years.
Brandon Reeves, you're going to get some trouble with the SEC folks, man, once again. You know what I'm saying? The blog talk is going to start acting up. You know you can't talk bad about them cupcake schedules they get Alabama.
They got Chattanooga on that schedule this year.
Alabama. But listen, man, Alabama come January, it's always like they always come to play. But like, damn, man, Michigan out here is sharpening. You know, they get going against Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? Michigan's out here. I'm just saying, Ohio State's out here. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, week one, game one. Alabama's open up against Chattanooga. I get the frustration. I get what the criticism is frustrating. But, like, man, back in, you know what I'm saying, once it comes time to play, you know, in December, they're there. Hello?
We've got an Alabama caller on the line.
Uh-oh. Bring him on in. You got us in trouble, man.
Come on, Nick Saban Jr.
I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to take this abuse. See, I usually start off by saying, hey, guys, how y'all doing? But at this point, you know, you're trying to rattle me a little bit. So I'm going to break some things down for you, okay? Jonathan, it's funny, right? You said they've got to figure this quarterback position out. They have no idea what's going on. And you look at the ratings. They're number four. That should tell you all you need to know about the talent level there. But here's the deal. I was hoping they'd be out of the top 10. That was my hope. because what? It's such peril, this quarterback position. It's such peril. As I told y'all, my guy who I'm sticking with is Jalen. That's period, point blank. I was sticking with Jalen in January, February, March, April, mm-hmm. and now it's August. I'm still saying the same thing. He gives them the best opportunity to win. You can say what we want about his accuracy, right? In college football, your accuracy doesn't matter as much as it is in NFL. What matters is that 4.29 speed that he has, right? Getting out of bad plays. We'll see what happens. Hopefully he wins the job, and we'll see what happens. But with that said, the reason why they've got to play those Tennessee Chattanooga teams, because then when you get to the SEC, there are no cupcakes other than Vanderbilt.
Wait a minute.
You know, that's pretty much it. Vandy is your cupcake. Yeah, Missouri is. But they don't play Missouri every year anyway. I'm talking about
Missouri. I wouldn't say Missouri is a cupcake, but like every year Missouri ain't always good.
Well, right, they're okay. Okay at best, right?
Yeah.
But they're no Indiana, right? When it comes to football, right? But my point being is you gotta get those up in because when you get to the SEC play, it's all work. Here's the thing. There's a lot of pride to have when you can go out there mm-hmm. and say everybody gives you their best. There's not one team, not one player that says I'm not giving 8,000%. That's not a compliment.
At Alabama, you're right. At Alabama and
I love it because what it does, iron sharpens iron, right? So
Peacock.
You see that? You see you got yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. No, I got. I want you to put your commissioner hat on. Your president of AD, right? And your school is IU. I won't say IU. That'd be picking on it. You're a Big Ten school that isn't necessarily known for football. Non-Big Ten school that's not necessarily.
You're right.
Midwest. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to say
a middling school is what you're saying.
Right. What do you need to do to improve your football? Like, I mean, other than like you gotta go out here and pay.
To me, Jonathan, it's simple. I thought we had this conversation, but maybe I had it privately at work or something. But the answer is NIL, man. Because you're not going to get players to come to Bloomington. You're not going to get players to come to Nebraska. You're not going to get players to come to Rutgers.
Well,
you know, if the money talks.
Nebraska's a different animal.
We're talking football, right? We're talking football. So
well,
the ship
right.
is sailed for Nebraska, right? So the your only
got one for facilities. Nebraska got one for facilities. That's the one thing they got going for.
JB, everyone in the next 5 years is going to have a wonderful facility. So there's got to be something different, right? So what's different is your money. You got to do what Kentucky did on the east side of Louisville at the Embassy Suites there.
They did.
I mean,
Kentucky upgraded. I forget. Kentucky. Well, Kentucky. Okay, let's put the Kentucky teams in the last 3 years in the Big Ten. They kind of fall in that Michigan State kind of category. And that's not no disrespect.
You're not going to – somebody's got to lose, right, every week. Somebody's got to lose. And so if there's no shame in the Big Ten, in my opinion, if you win seven games, eight games a year as a middling team.
Right. If I'm a head coach and I'm a middling football – with a middling football program where I'm at a mid-major or at a big-time program, I hear you. I feel you on NIL. You do. But I don't necessarily think the money kind of flows through some of those programs like that. Then – But my
no,
secondary
no, I'm
question.
With you. I'm with you. That's why you
my
got to
secondary
do
thing.
I'll say.
My secondary thing was like you got to schedule South teams. You got to schedule the South teams, and do a home and home win.
And you got to see players out there playing. You know, like the Bama Texas.
The problem is, John, the South teams don't want to come north. They just had Auburn last year. May have been the first South team to come north in what 8 years.
Someone's playing Nebraska or Wisconsin. I can't remember who it is. From the South, one of those schools is playing a Southern school. I think a school from the SEC, if I remember right, Nebraska or Wisconsin or Iowa. One of those schools is playing an SEC team school in a home and home. But to your point, you've got to get eyes on it, right? because you got to get those guys who aren't good enough to play at Bama, LSU, Georgia, right? You, those are the guys
right.
you got to go out. You can't go after the five-star, fifth-rated defensive end in the country. Don't waste your time. But he's probably got a guy on his team that's probably a three-star that, that has something to prove. Your problem is, though, after 1 year, if he sees there's an opportunity, if he plays well, guess what happens? Somebody's knocking on his door with a brown with a brown sack.
See ya.
Well, not anymore. Well, not a brown sack anymore. It's not, you don't have to do it. But you know what I'm saying, right? So that's your, that's your challenge. But to your point, JB, you got to get down there and let people see you. You got to let them see you play, man.
Right.
And if you don't do that, that's your pain point, right? But again, I you know, and I said, you know, Brandon, on the on your post, I think one of the most worthless, and honestly, one of the most worthless polls is the NCAA football poll in August. I just they don't, these are dart shots, man. Again, and I love
be like week five.
That,
first poll should be week five.
And you know, to that point, right? We talked, you know, we're giving Alabama hell, but I really, but think about the cachet. You know, you're talking about the number four ranked team with a when you don't even know who the quarterback is. Let alone you don't even know who the who the top running back is going to be. You don't know who your left tackle is going to be, and you're four in the country. That just tells to you about cachet. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be an interesting November. That's what the money is going to be made in November, right? And we'll see what happens. But I did want to hit too on the in-season tournament. I got my email on the in-season tournament. And I haven't got any, a take on you guys about the NCAA.
With the NBA,
I think it's terrible, man. I think it's a sham. I think it's a scam. I think they're desperate to try to bring eyes to something. When you start being so gimmicky, it's just like when I wrestled in high school. When you try to do things that you're not used to doing, that means you're desperate. You try something that you're not, and I think the NBA is desperate. All the flopping, all the arguing.
I'm gonna have to go the other way with you, man. I don't think it's desperation. They have a. Here's the thing, though, Vika and Brandon. The network runs the NBA, or vice versa, together. So the network wants content. They pump it out to the United States. They pump it out to Canada, and as we all know, in FIBA, like the world loves basketball. You know what I mean?
That's the gimmick, though. That's the gimmick.
Well,
that's my point.
Well, it's not just a national audience. It's not just a national.
It's worldwide.
Make it WBA.
I get it. It's the basketball.
All those West Coast games that me and you like be taking a nap on. I'm just getting honest. With you. I can't watch any West Coast game. You know what I mean?
No.
But some of those games, like, man, they get big ratings out there in the Pacific, in that
Northwest,
time zone.
Pacific Northwest and they get
big ratings. I know. We're going to go down a wormhole. We start talking about Daryl Morey and James Harden. They get big ratings in China.
But listen, I know a lot of people clown us about the WWE. Oh, speaking of that real quick, my guy did have surgery, man. Muff flaps on the shelf, man. He's doing therapy twice a week, man. So just I'll keep you guys updated on his status, which is WWE. What I was going to say, though, is becoming a WWE event. It's sort of like NWO, right? We got to find something.
Oh, man.
You're flailing, right? I mean, think about this. WCW, like, that was their home run shot. And I'm just saying,
the only thing that I don't like about it is that it takes away a home game away from, like, you know,
We got two this year. We got Cleveland,
build up,
and the one's November November 3rd, and the other one is
Detroit.
I don't want to say November 11th or something like that. I'm looking now because I just got it in here.
I think
it's
Detroit.
It's to help build up fan interest. In the early part of the season, I engage fans who say I don't watch NBA basketball till after Christmas. I'm like, man, I'm on NBA basketball week one. You know what I'm saying? If it's Halloween, whatever. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
they learned a lot. They learned a lot from that daggone bubble when they had the bubble and it was a TV product.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now you have a TV product out in Las Vegas. You're going to charge tickets. You're going to charge commercialism for Crest and Wheaties and everybody else, and Kellogg's and Crossroads Sports, whoever, whoever it might be, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, whoever it might be, you're going to charge for that. Mm. People are going to watch it because
November 3rd.
The Hall of Fame game. It netted 6.1 million people. The Hall of Fame, yep. The NFL Hall of Fame game.
But isn't that though because we're thirsty for football though, man? We're dying. We can't wait. We can't wait. Think about it. We've had the doldrums since draft day, right? We've had the doldrums. And football we can talk about baseball being America's pastime. It may have been for the old guys who were in black and white. But football is the American pastime. Now, you can say what you want with fantasy, with all the things going on. Football is the pastime right now. And we've been starving since draft day, man. That's why you got people watching a Hall of Fame game. That's why you got people going out to Grand Park to watch two teams scrimmage.
It's going to draw viewership and all those things, man. And
curiosity.
It's going to draw curiosity. Yes, absolutely. As they adopt a European style. That's what it is. It's a European style model.
But that's just the model. The play isn't that, right? Because you're going to still see a bunch of guys mad at the world for not getting a call, a foul call. That's what's turning people away, man. The drama.
Right.
I mean, why do you think they say, we're going to institute a flopping rule, talking about it, and if you flop, you're going to get a technical, and you're going to lose. Yes. That tells you people are tired.
Well, Uncle Red started it, you know what I'm saying? And Mom Ginobili perfected it, and then like now LeBron James has adopted it.
You can't have the best player in the league doing that though. You can't. Reggie wasn't even realistically. Let's be honest. Other than folks here in Indianapolis, he wasn't even the best at 13 All Pro. I know he made it one time. I think if I remember right. But my point is, you can't have supposedly your best player, Harden, LeBron. You can't have those guys doing that. You lose respect. And then when you got a guy like LeBron says, I got to learn how to flop. You're going to tell me he hasn't seen the flop compilations that are on the net for him?
They're everywhere.
Well, now we got your name, man. I'm kind of losing respect for Harden, period. Period.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Daryl Morey is his homie from way back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, lie to him, John.
I believe it's a political statement. I believe it's a two-prone political statement. What manager or whatever don't speak a lie? That's one. Like so, but James Harden, you're a grown man. You have agents. You opted into a $30 million. So Florida State can't get $30 million.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying, though, right? When you do that,
you opted into a $30 million contract. Thinking that you was like, dude, they're not going to give you no more money, James. They can't. They don't trust
you're
you.
He's looking for time, right? So you're looking at a guy who did this to poke the bear, so to speak. Any man, whoever you are, you don't like being called a liar. That and with Daryl, because that goes other players hear that, and everybody hears
okay.
that. And that was a let me make this
crazy.
Statement. So
right.
they, so
he
I
wasn't he quote him, but like dude, so. But he wasn't happy, and now, like, bro, you the one forced to trade from Brooklyn, because his bird rights followed him in Brooklyn. He could have signed $200 million contract with Brooklyn.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
He
and Kyrie weren't going to exist. Kyrie was killing him in practice, calling him wash, and he didn't like that. These guys are as sensitive as a baby's bottom. When you got a guy, Kyrie's calling you wash because he's undressing you every day. You don't like that's ego. These guys got egos, man.
Right. So you force a trade out, get to Philadelphia with your homie Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey said, I'll take care of you. But then the market says, James, we don't trust you. Because still, I mean, whatever Clipper deal that he's trying to get to the Clippers, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so now you call Daryl Morey a liar all you want. You did it in China. Everybody knows Daryl Morey in China. That's why they fired him in Houston. Yes, China is a business partner with the NBA. China, guess what, y'all?
And also,
don't lose your mind.
Right.
China's also a business partner with a whole lot of other companies in the United States. But China is a business partner.
Also, players also.
Players as well get a check. So it was a two-pronged statement. He goes over and says, Daryl Morey, they know who they're, like those people who run that whatever, they know who Daryl Morey is.
He lied to him, John.
It's about a fact.
He lied.
About a fact, man.
Okay, you lied. You lied with a $30 million check, bro. You better show up to work, man.
No, Daryl Morey lied, man. He said, "Hey, you opt back in, we'll trade you." And then now Morey's coming back on his word, saying, "We ain't trading. You got to show up."
Hey, you know what?
They don't want
unless you got.
You can't trade him for Luke Kennard and Vincent Park. You can't trade him for Vincent Park
unless you have it in writing, Mr. Customer. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't
there
matter.
There are no under table.
Daryl Morey.
The only people who had an under handshake agreement was Joe Smith and the Minnesota Timberwolves fired Kevin McHale. As quick as he could find out, when the NBA found out that Joe Smith had signed an under-table agreement to play for them when they had, like, Joe Smith and Kevin Garnett, it was, like, crazy to me.
Exactly.
Like, there's
exactly.
No
John Morant, like, oh, handgun.
John,
hey, Brandon's taking over for Reggie tonight, I see.
He's just throwing out. Hey, and then, Kyle, while we're on basketball, man, did you watch any FIBA exhibition? They destroyed Puerto Rico.
No, man.
Yeah,
I was just back on vacation, man. I was down south, and
that's right.
I took my chair down there to Montgomery. Did a little bit of work, and
uh-huh.
everything. But that is just I hung out on Tuscaloosa Road. Hung out at Brian Denny for a little while. A little spot down there on the strip, man. Had a good time. Won't be my last time hanging out down there for sure.
Okay. Well, the homie Halliburton. He had a good show the first two games against Puerto Rico.
I get the clips from because I guess the team sends us clips of him. So because he's working right, I get the emails, man, and it's like Halliburton does it again. I saw the steal, the rebound, and the outlet for the dunk. I see his dunk. So yeah, they sent it to us pretty much. You know, they sent them to us as they were playing the highlights for Halliburton, which is
awesome.
I thought somebody said. Oh man, the they're winning with a bunch of no names. When you hear someone says that, stop them from talking at that point because clearly they don't know. If you say they're winning with a bunch of no names, and you said it out loud, and I've seen a lot of people say that, I'm like, clearly, you know, you so you're just a Bron fan.
You're just
a Kyrie fan. You're just a KD fan.
This coaching staff is very well put together. He's got the names that everybody knows from Kerr to Spoelstra. You know what I mean? So that experience in that is of itself, right? This is a younger team. Listen, man, ain't nothing ever gonna be as special as Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Chris Mullin.
No,
92. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing's
ever gonna be that special.
Well, you're old fogies. That's old news.
But like Ben Sherrill. Like, but no, man, they got Ben Sherrill out here playing center, Jerry Jackson. This is his – I mean, they got him playing, like, a for real stretch, and he's playing defense. And the kid that Dallas whiffed on and went to New York.
Guys got something to prove, man.
Brunson. Brunson. He's kind of – right. He's kind of like the de facto leader of the team, man. So, how can I forget Anthony Edwards? He's dunking on everybody.
Spain is going to face some strife
because Spain, they got a rematch with Spain, of course, coming, and France and Canada is a little bit better this year because I think Murray from Phoenix is playing for Canada this year.
Go ahead, John. Those guys collectively come together, man. It's not as though those other teams, I would say schools, those other teams that you just named, are not so much head and shoulders from a talent perspective. These guys collectively can be the best team in the country. I wouldn't be shocked if they won it all. But also, I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't win it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just from a skill set perspective. You got good guard play, man. We talked about it all the time, man. If you got good guard play, you got a chance. I understand you got those high flyers and everything like that, but you got good guard play, man. You got an opportunity. So that's my take on that, man. I don't want to hold up for everybody else, man. But
I got a question for you.
Go ahead, I got you.
Did you hold your own down there in Montgomery?
Dude, hey, let me tell you something, man. Hey, I had as they say in the WA, I had my steel chair, and I brought out a can of whoop-ass, man. No, I'm just kidding. But it was funny, right, because that picture I posted, that was when we were driving down. I had my wife take the picture. She said, "You are crazy. You're going to get yourself in trouble." I said, "No," and I kept going. So, listen, I've probably watched all, in all honesty, I've probably watched all the videos. I continue to post. Probably I've watched them 500 times. I probably kid you not. And you know, there's so much to unpack. So much to unpack.
Take that hat off.
I mean, too much.
Throw it. Hey, Dicott, you get a chance. Watch that Manziel documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that. I definitely will
so
be home the rest of this week. So I'll be home working. I'll probably kick it in tomorrow because I'll be working, but I can watch it too. But again, appreciate you guys as always, man. And
Brandon,
all I'll say is
before
this,
we get before
you
get on the phone, man. Hey, man, this Kansas got an oil burn for a backer, NIL backer. Cause
I was so disappointed. Yeah, I was thinking Mike had him.
Oh, boy,
I was hoping that Mike had him. But again, you know, that's okay. That just means someone else will come in and hopefully play well, because I know your co-host there, JB, said last year, let's wait and see when he gets his own players and see what happens. So this year he has his own players. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how this all plays out. Hey, are you guys on till 9 tonight?
No, probably 8:30 or so tonight.
Okay.
Next week will be a Tuesday show, I think, because I have I leave for my golf trip next week as well, so I'll be gone.
Okay. Hey, listen, we still got to get Reggie Hale. Did you see that? You saw the AR post. Did you see that the coach posted that it was something? I forget. Oh yeah, it was Anthony Richardson's stat line. And I asked Reggie. I said, "Are you posting this too?" And he didn't. And he said some not so nice.
Man, Reggie took that little personal, man.
I think he paid off those people to say he had an eagle, his first eagle. I think he paid those people off.
I've known him too long. Believe me, there's no way.
He told me I need to worry about Ball State football and don't worry about coach football. I'm like, dude, I worry about them all. I watched them all. Do you know you called the Crossroads Sports Show? He almost got hung up on.
The Ball State show.
When he says worry about your own team, that means he's got nothing else to say, and that's his. You know how in the TV game, they do filler.
That to himself after every week on Facebook when he starts trolling these other teams. Worry about his own team.
And listen, I'm gonna tell you this, and this is what he's gonna say. I hope he listens. He'll say, "Wait a minute, you're gonna have your chance too." Because every year the coach is the same thing, right? And even my Pacers, I'll admit that. Wait, you're going to get your chance to get trolled on. And every year, Notre Dame, same thing, right? It's, you know, after their season's done and the heat dies down, then 3-4 weeks later, after other teams, good teams lose, then he wants to troll. But his team's been on vacation for a month and a half. So those are two things coming. You're going to get your turn and worry about your own teams. Talk about a go-to move. Hey, he is James Harden going to his left.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a so predictable, but I give him heck. But hey, there's a chance I probably will be at one or maybe both of the in season because everybody's talking about it. I think he's got an opportunity to get some extra. I think because there's not a lot of attention on it. So I'll let you guys know about that too.
All right, sounds good. Roll Tide.
November.
He said Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Bye, Dicott. All right, Dicott, my guy. Let's bring our guy on. What's going on, Nas?
Yo.
How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Can't complain, my man. On a Tuesday night, I got Hard Knocks coming on later on. I'm going to watch that. And, I'm ready for football to be back, college and pro.
I'm right with you on that. Let's get it. We got Hard Knocks. Hopefully we got Winning Time coming up sometime soon too. Cause I need you to see that season as well. But man, I got to talk to y'all about this Harden thing, man.
Yo, here we go. I love it. John, this is your man for Harden.
Are y'all done with it? Or y'all want to do a little more? Or
keep going. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
No, you might have a different perspective, man. Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. This might be the greatest performance ever by Jim Harden. The great Jim Harden, who has figured out ways off teams in unimaginable, like the fat suit conspiracy and all the other stuff he's done. I don't think anything will ever top this. Like, this dude, this one was a masterclass. First of all, we're in China, and we're using the name Daryl Morey already.
Right.
That's one up on James Harden, understanding the situation. Second thing, by alluding to being lied to, you are setting the stage for Adam Silver to have to say, wait a minute, did you guys make a promise to him under the table? We already got your two picks for tampering in that deal with P.J. Tucker and Daniel House. Do we need to step in here again? So you're raising that already. Then we have the specter of, again, in James Harden's mind, I made you. You were the Sloan analytics guy. Some people listened to you, some people didn't. But I was the test case to prove that what you said worked. I'm the guy who made you. That's why you have the painting of me in your house. And after all is said and done, the promise is made, you won't give me the five-year deal that I was supposed to get? Yeah, I'm going to score third. So I'm not so mad at James Harden on this. Now, does he have the market to pull it off? Probably not. He's probably going to have to get even worse and make this so untenable for them that they ended up trading him for spare parts and just kind of taking the L on it, and which Daryl Morey is, you know, he's convinced he's not going to do. But I don't think he's ready for what Harden is willing to do to get out. So this is going to be an interesting little storyline for the NBA. But ultimately, Jim Harden wins because you've got Embiid, whose clicker is ticking at this point. He's getting up there in age. You have to make the run with Embiid for the back half of his career if we're not already in it. And to do so, you've got to get this guy out of there and figure out what you want to do. So again, the craziest guy in the league
sometimes just wins.
Those fans is going to
be like super fickle.
Yeah, man.
Those fans
sometimes
are super
fickle. The craziest guy in the room wins.
Yes, they are.
I don't know how you win this by bringing him to camp and kind of stare down the rest of the league like you did with the Ben Simmons situation. I think this one is a little different just because of how ugly Harding is willing to make it go. So I just don't really see a win for Morey here.
Right. I don't see where James Harden, like they said, Lawrence Frank. Thank you. Former Bloomington graduate. So, like, he stays, you know what I'm saying, he went from coach, to, you know, he was general manager when the Nets was in Brooklyn, you know what I'm saying, New Jersey or whatever. Now he you know what I'm saying, running things out here with the Clippers, man. So that's interesting. I just don't know where James Harden really fits outside of Philadelphia. Like, go back to Philadelphia and the $200 million is off the table. It's gone. Whatever, that's gone. And I know that's like, you know what I'm saying, that's easy for me to say because I never, you know, it wasn't even in front of me. So like $200 million is gone.
Right.
So like whatever, like this has been the best versions of James Harden that we've seen in quite some time. So he's not happy because of the money or he's not happy because it has to be. It can't be happy because like who he's playing with because like playing with Joel Embiid is the best version that we've seen since the MVP years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be money. It has to be the deal. He feels he was promised something, and I actually believe him. I think Daryl sold him on that, which is why he took that pay cut to fill out that roster. And to me, the Clippers are the only real reasonable spot because you're opening that new building. You bought half of Inglewood. You got two guys who may possibly not ever be able to play a season without being load managed in Kawhi and Paul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for that, bringing Harden home to L.A., like I think there's a win there, but ultimately they're still trying to, you know, send him the short deal, I guess, instead of something that'll make Morey want to make the deal.
Right.
But sometimes Morey has Danny Ainge disease where he has to win the trade when sometimes that's just not necessary, man. Like, just get a deal done.
You know, I also looked up his contract while we were talking. Do you realize also, on top of his contract, if he does get traded, he also has a 15% trade bonus.
So he wants to get traded at this point, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But you're right. I don't know where – I mean, between the Clippers, I don't think Phoenix wants to deal with that headache, even though they're kind of starting fresh with Vogel and whatnot out there with Booker and them. But they got rid of the Chris Paul bad contract. You didn't get rid of the Chris Paul contract for a bad James Harden contract.
If you don't like the Clippers deal, you're really not going to like the Phoenix deal because they don't have nothing but spare parts left to move. So
it would not shock me if somehow the Golden State Warriors decide, hey, we got $72 million right here. Let's just throw it to James Harden and put him on the team. It seems like they have money. Just...
All right, now you
but he's 33 years old. Realistically, how much more does he got left in him, Harden?
Well, you just gave me a nightmare with that Golden State scenario. If you put him there, then everything would be fine. I do not need the evil empire to be able to pull off James Harden in the middle of the night. Like, no, I can't.
Right.
But,
right,
man, that actually works basketball-wise, though. But who knows, man. This is getting ugly. And it all comes down to, man, if Kyrie had taken that shot, maybe none of this happens.
Right.
They were a Kevin Durant three-pointer foot on the line away from the finals, and maybe none of this happens if he had just taken a shot and they got along.
If he had just hit that shot, right? Nah, while we got you on the phone, man, what's the Atlanta Hawks looking like, man? I think the running back they got from Texas, they're going to use as like a Swiss Army knife. But what is
John Robinson.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson. What is your thoughts on the quarterback, Desmond Ridder? Am I saying his name or Ritter?
It's Ritter.
Ritter.
You got that phone?
Okay.
So somebody who I thought the coach would have took.
Yeah, basically the Falcon fans know as much about that as you do. We've got to see Ritter really as the leader of the team with live bullets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really expecting much. Maybe he's a game manager. I don't know. I don't even know if he's athletic enough to be the guy who moves around as much as some people are predicting. But Bijan is going to be really good. But I think they are going to manage his touches because they kept Cordell Patterson for another year, and then you got Tyler Algier as another running back. So I think they're going to be careful with Bijan this year as far as decide how many snaps he's going to get. And I think that'll be beneficial. But, yeah, he's the next level talent. And he is what you want in a running back. And it's also kind of an explanation of why so many veterans are not getting paid. Because if you can draft a guy like Bijan in the top 10, play him for 5 years, franchise him for two, and then let him walk, that beats any free agent contract you could do for a running back. So they're in the sweet spot right now. This is the time to have him. And, yeah, he's really
good.
He looks like everything's advertised.
Right.
I'm kind of curious what they have defensively. They're playing in the NFC South. So it's a winnable division. It's a winnable division.
Some mediocre team is going to win that division and probably, have a really bad time when the playoffs start. But Tampa and Atlanta are really young, though. So this could be something to build upon. And they got pieces that you like. Drake London as a wide receiver is really good. Kyle Pitts, the tight end, is dynamic. He was underused last year before he got hurt. Maybe they'll use him this year. Don't draft him on your fantasy team. You never know. But, I'm not sure who's going to win that division, man. To me, right now, the front runner looks like the Saints with Derek Carr reclamation project going on. So, NFC South is not a – this is like the NFC West a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Where everything was mediocre and you just wanted that one playoff game. That's kind of
John,
what I'm looking at.
John, I'm seeing Georgia. Like, Georgia's all over the news lately, man, for a couple of things. You've got the great Atlanta Braves that are just dominating Major League Baseball right now. Dominating. And, they're putting a whooping on the Yankee Doodle up there in New York. But you've got that. I'm seeing crazy stuff on the news about we're still dealing with election stuff from 2020, the one that's mind-baffling. And then the biggest news story that I'm seeing sports-wise, Nas, is this Croy Bierman and his old lady down there having marital problems and money problems, and it's just Atlanta can't just get its own way.
Yeah, I feel bad for Bierman, man. He was a good dude, rotational, defensive player. Not a great player, but made some nice bread in the NFL. And
she used all his money.
Kinda,
she took all his money.
Yeah, he got caught up. caught up with a reality star, so I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but he seemed like a really good guy, man, so I definitely didn't want that to happen to him. As far as the election thing, hey, man, if you're good,
remind
Brandon, have an underling call, make the call. Don't make the call yourself. That's all I'll say. But
right.
Right.
Hey, how about
moving on to the Braves? If we get some pitching from somewhere, or we get Soroka back or something like that, this is an all-time great team, in my opinion. Like, I think we walk to the series, and I'm willing to say that in Atlanta, where all the bad luck can happen at any time, I'm willing to say that if we get another pitcher or if Soroka comes back healthy.
Hey, man, I got to ask you.
This ain't Wrigley, bro.
Another
thing. Bad luck ain't there.
What's your thoughts on this Wander Franco situation, man?
We need more information, man. MLB supposedly sent some representatives down there, and they're going to try to figure out what's what. Tampa did the right thing by sitting him out until this is fleshed out, because there's no justifying any of that if it actually happened. Now, if it didn't, a lot of people are going to owe him an apology, and it's also an indictment of social media reporting on things and getting things wrong, and tells us that maybe we shouldn't have so many debate shows. Maybe we actually do need outside the lines type shows and the sports reporter type shows, to where people on a beat can actually work a story and find the truth. And that way, by the time the story comes out, we actually have all the details instead of all this, you know, wondering if things are true. So, you know, there's a lot to it.
Yeah, absolutely. We woke up yesterday. The news that former Seahawks and Ravens running back Alex Collins passed away at 28. Man, that was tough to see. I believe what they say. I believe it was like a motorcycle crash. Is that what it was?
Yeah, motorcycle accident
with him. But man, I was talking with one of my buddies. I said he. I remember those years he was kind of running over the Steelers back when he was even with Baltimore. Is just having to but another life gone way too early. I mean, John, I meant to say this to you last week's show with Colin Cowherd when he fumbled, rest in peace, Dwayne Haskins, saying that he'll never win a Super Bowl. Well, no shit. And that list that he gave him on there, that's just wild how they let that stuff happen, you know?
Yeah, didn't Collins go to Arkansas?
Huh?
He went to Arkansas. He went to Arkansas. I thought he
Collins,
had, he had one of the – I think he had a game against Memphis, man. He killed Memphis, too. I think his last professional, he bounced around a couple of games, but he played in the USFL, played for the Memphis Showboats. You got to be careful. I mean, one of our sponsors is Maverick Covers Motorsports, man. They always stress safety among all things for, you know what I'm saying, folks when you're on those motorbikes and even folks, you know what I'm saying, driving. You got to be aware, you know what I'm saying. Bikes go just, guess what, they don't have, you know what I'm saying, rest in peace, for sure, but
let me say this real quick. This is also the power of fantasy football, because Alex Collins, famous fantasy football god, waiver wire guy, everybody picked up, or he was expected to do X, Y, and Z in a certain game, so the name was really familiar for a guy, you know, who didn't play as long as other people have. And you saw the outpouring on social media about him. And, you know, it was surprising to see, but then it kind of clicked when you thought about how many people had used him on their team over all these years. And because of, you know, researching and looking at things like that, those guys kind of become your favorites, the guys that save your season and everything. And, you know, they're showing the clip of him at Arkansas where they tried to do the Hail Mary play that they almost pulled off. It's like, yeah, it's a really sad, tragic ending to a young life, man.
Absolutely. Trying to think. Nas, we were talking earlier. You may have heard us.
I think Colin Cowherd doesn't prepare for shows. I think he just rolls out of bed and just does it. That's what happens.
Yeah. That's the Jonathan Bird song philosophy, I think. Roll out of bed and let's just roll.
Never.
I'm sorry, John. That was a shot. I took an unnecessary shot out of there.
Everybody knows that's sarcasm.
We know.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. We know. We do.
Yeah. Last thing I have, man, they prepped and advertised and tried to hype everything up today for this stupid-ass release for the play-in tournament for the NBA. And John was talking about earlier, I just can't get up for it. I'm sorry. I can't. I know what they're trying to do, but for me, it's just I don't give a damn if the Pacers win this in-season tournament or not. I only care about one champ, one tournament, and one championship, and that's the one that you're holding up the Larry O'Brien trophy. I just can't get into it.
Sir, where is this tournament held?
Home games until they go to Vegas for the semifinals and finals.
Exactly. This is about prop bets. This is about people creating parlays. And I'm sorry, the interest is going to be there when it happens. But, of course, like you said, it is kind of a fake trophy. This is Euro Cup stuff that they're used to. We're not used to it. But, yeah, I think the gambling is going to drive this, and I think they'll be fine. Like, the NBA knows what it is. They know what who they're in bed with at this point. So
here's my thing. If whoever wins this, are they going to hang a banner?
Of course. What do you mean? Of course. Dude, they gave out rings for the rookie second-year player.
I mean, the Indianapolis Colts hung up a AFC wildcard finalist banner.
Come on, man. Don't, why you gotta bring that
in the league where we saw the Knicks drop confetti for making it to the second round, I believe so.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Shot
I'm
fired.
Walt Frazier, shout out.
The great Walt Frazier, salute. All-time
exactly.
Great. But thanks, guys. It's always good to talk with y'all, man. I've been listening to y'all for a while.
Absolutely.
Y'all been killing it tonight. And y'all are getting me through my work day. So I'm going to hang up and listen to y'all for the rest of the show.
Beautiful. Thanks, Nas. Have a great one, buddy.
That's
all right. That's our guy, Nas, from down the ATL. Great caller, John. Great friend of the program. Love having him on. Listen to his takes, you know.
Yep.
And it's, yeah, man, I just can't get into this NBA in-season tournament. I understand also why you're doing it, as well as you want to get some excitement in December and November for the league, which typically is dominated by NFL in the football season.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like the fact that the NBA is pushing back the start of their regular season. They're pushing it back, I think, another week now. So it's going to be more towards like that October 22nd, 23rd, 24th timeline. So I'm okay with that because it was creeping in, what, second week of October initially?
Yeah, that was too soon. Right, that's too
yeah,
soon.
Way too soon. So I do like that fact. Yeah, I would talk Indiana with some Pacers. Somebody asked me if I would talk Pacers, but you know, man, it's the timing's just not right now. It's you know, we got plenty of time to talk Pacers. We've got NFL, we've got college football, John. Our guy Tanner Penrod is going to be rejoining us. We're going to do our college football pick 'em. That's going to be starting up here in 2 weeks. Where we're going to get to pick them. I'm already starting to work on a blog for the radio, for the website. Five reasons why Caleb Williams will come back and win the Heisman again. Go
double
back
digit.
To back. Yeah. Why he would go and do that. And as well as I've got some schools that I'm looking at, John, that I want to talk next week on their over-unders for win totals. How they are going to look for next year. There's a few of them. I'll give you a little preview. I secretly like Wisconsin over 8.5 wins already. I think that's an easy one. I think Luke Fickell in there, changing that entire style, I think is going to be a big one. I also think Duke under 6.5 wins. You know, Mike Eklo did a great job last year, but you know, they had a preseason win total of 3 last year. So I think we digress with that. And then I'm not going to the well on Florida, Miami, Florida, but they're over under 7.5. I'm drastically looking at that right now to see if that's something I truly believe in. And I think Clemson easily over 10 wins. Easily.
Oh, for sure. They bounced back.
Yeah, for sure. John, I saw some people put their, and I think I tagged you in it on Twitter last night or the night before. They were putting their college football playoff top 4. And if you're watching the Facebook live feed, there was a Hook'em Horns logo, John. I seen that they have Texas in the top four. I do like them to win the Big 12 at plus 110. I will say that. And and all, but I don't know about them getting that college football playoff four. It seems like a little bit of a push, but we'll hit that and more.
Right.
Absolutely. Trying to think if there's anything else last minute I'm thinking of. We talked contracts. We talked Colts.
We had the Naismith Hall of Fame basketball. Everybody kind of went in. The folks.
Yeah, it was a big big group.
From Dwayne Wade, who had a very emotional speech. He shouted out before he brought his dad up there. That was a whole other level. But he shouted out all the teammates from Eddie Jones to, oh, my goodness, you name them. You know what I'm saying? The guys that he felt, you know what I'm saying, helped him in his basketball journey, man. It was, you know what I'm saying, everybody kind of goes up. Becky Hammon, my goodness, dude, she gave another impassionate speech. Hell, she was wearing the damn jacket she wore the orange jacket to the damn game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The Aces played. So Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki, they all went to the National Basketball Hall of Fame, man. It's great. You kind of check some of that. It's all online. It's everywhere. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, or whatnot, you can check. But, like, yeah, man, it's some great. Paul Gasol, if you don't, you listen to Paul Gasol's speech, man, you'll start tearing up, man. Not just with the Kobe stuff, just like him coming over here to become an American, you know what I'm saying, coming over from Spain to become an American basketball player. You know what I'm saying? European, I mean, with the times in Memphis to his times at the end of his career in, you know what I'm saying, to Taylor's career in San Antonio, man. He kind of talked about it all, man. So, like, no, I mean, great, great conversation. That Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame Classic that went in this past year. Outside
Think
of that,
of
man, Brian, I know, man. Go ahead.
Speaking of TikTok, John, I've had people ask for the Crossroads TikTok.
Man, we're taking the time, man. Got to get perfect.
And we do, and we put our video takes on there. We do need to do more videos. I'm going to do more videos takes and things.
The folks
and
love Brandon. Brandon, they love your videos, man. You got to get out there, man. Put them out.
Look,
there.
I went back and looked at the reviews and the views of them. Mm-hmm. And when I put a video out, I'm not trying to be that guy, but when I put a video out, it gets a lot of traction. So.
This man is dead. He's E.F. Hutton.
Something like
when
that.
When he talks, people listen. I kind of double that. But like, man, we haven't also, the last couple of weeks, and I know we're running short on time, we haven't talked about golf, man, and I know the PGA, whatever, live is merging. But like, dude, who had a great weekend that nobody's kind of talked about in like for a long time was Lucas Glover. He's like a U.S. Open champion. Didn't he win like back in 2005? Maybe. Don't call me a liar. I'm not double checking.
Yeah, I think
double check me.
One last 2 weeks.
But yeah, man. But yeah, the last 2 weeks, man, this is the same dude whose wife called him up. Loser. Represent, man. But like, no, man, he's back to his winning ways, man. But like, and like I said, last 2 weeks, man, he's been crushing it, man. So, go ahead.
Yeah, two things I got for you. One, how about Ball State changing their logo in the middle of the football field now? They go to that the dancing Charlie Cardinal, like on the football helmet I got from the retro one from Ball State football.
The retro
so
one?
Now they got that in the center of the field.
Okay.
It looks sick. And I got to ask you this. I put it out to you on a text message earlier. Who is your four Mount Rushmore Intercontinental champions?
Oh, man. You have some pretty good ones, Brandon. I mean,
can we give mine real quick so everybody can recap them? I guess I didn't tell them, but I've got Bret Hart, Macho Man Randy Savage, Chris Jericho, and who was the other one I had, John? I can't remember it now. Who am I missing?
Then you have Razor Ramon. Ray had Razor Ramon.
And Razor Ramon, yep. Honorable mention. Really, I should have put Mr. Perfect in my honorable mention, but The Miz and Pat Patterson were my two honorable mentions.
Right.
And
so
do you put
Gunther?
I mean, he's about to break the record.
Right. He's about to break the Honky Tonk Man record, man. But as that title has kind of evolved and the people who've kind of held it as it kind of did different things, but man, I don't necessarily think Macho Man Randy Savage is in the top five anymore. I'm not saying Macho Man Randy Savage is still a top five wrestler all time.
Do you put Steamboat?
In the Continental.
Or do you only have one run?
He only had one run. I wouldn't necessarily put Steamboat over Honky Tonk Man. Honky Tonk Man was an all-time great heel. That's why he was so long. Rick Rude would have to be up there. And when you say Kurt Hennig's in your honorable mention, I will put me first on my list has Kurt Hennig in the top five.
Okay. And here's my I'm sorry. The Mount Rushmore is only four faces, so get me
top
five.
Top four. I have Kurt Hennig in the top four with Bret Hart.
Bret Hart, Kurt Hennig. Who's your other two?
I don't know how you don't have Shawn Michaels when he had
the title. I agree, but he had so many world title runs and WWE championship runs that, and I know Bret Hart did too, but.
Bret Hart, okay, that's what I've always told you. Bret Hart is a better Intercontinental Champion. He had better. He had better matches. That's why they put the title on him. He had better matches than the IC Champion.
Yeah, he beat Kurt Hennig twice.
And then when Hulk Hogan finally left, and the Ultimate Warrior was a fizzle. Turned to Bret and said, "Hey man, I need you to be the champ." That's what happened. Because he wasn't gonna put it on Kurt Hennig.
Okay, so let me ask you this: if you're gonna put Shawn Michaels on there, and I know it's tough because you got guys that are good Intercontinental champs just as much as they are good WWE champions. You got Bret Hart, you got Shawn Michaels. You gotta a little bit think, considering The Rock and Triple H, they had good Intercontinental runs multiple times.
The Rock, Triple H for sure. The Rock World Championship shit. That shit, that overcompasses pretty much anything he ever did. The IC champ, but yeah, he has because he's a multiple IC champ. Stone Cold is a multiple. I think he's a multiple. Didn't he throw the dagger? No, he threw the world title.
Yeah.
He threw the
Rock's world title in.
But
the
like Brandon, your favorite Owen Hart. You don't have him in your IC.
No, I got Bret. Not top four, man. He's not a Mount Rushmore.
But you have him in the top ten, right?
No. No. You want me to give you my 10?
Sure.
I wrote my 10 down. Number 10, I have Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Number 9, I have Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Not Triple H, but Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Damn, man.
John, he's had five reigns. He's had five reigns.
He hog matches. I love them.
Yeah.
I love them hog matches.
So,
yeah.
And that's the difference. I make sure I put Hunter Hearst Helmsley in there.
I got you.
Eighth, not particularly in eighth. Now I think about it. I have him on my list here in that order, but I have Savage. So technically, I guess Savage would be removed from my Mount Rushmore because if he's eight, that's on my list.
Good job. Okay.
He held it for over a year, though. He had one reign for over a year.
He did. It was real, it was real drama filled,
I have seven. I have Chris Benoit. He held the title four different times. Was that 1,000-some days total between all four runs?
Mm-hmm.
So I got him in there as well. And then let's see on my list. Six, I have Kurt Hennig. Two reigns. He's Steamboat. He had one reign for 65 days, but
it was good.
It was such a good match with him.
He put on classics too. Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw this guy wrestle, but he's held the title for almost 2 years, which was he's the first ever Triple Crown champion from what I've read. But I tried to watch more of it. Pedro Morales.
He was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I didn't see him, but there back at Chris Jericho. Jericho at three.
Man, he's great.
There's Honky Tonk Man, you know, Honky Tonk Man, and he's...
Roll over, Evers.
Where do you put Ultimate Warrior?
See, that's like, even though people, like, they trade off the Warrior's name. Like,
Warrior more for that than the World Champ.
Warrior had some great IC runs. And then when he merged, like when he beat Hulk Hogan, he was IC champ, and that was like the first ever, like he was the first ever one to hold both belts. And then he, of course, you know, say when he gets the title, the IC title. But yeah, he was probably better as the IC champ, to be honest with you. He was better IC champ.
And I got Bret Hart.
He's number one.
Also, another honorable mention besides Razor Ramon, I also have Jeff Jarrett. I thought Jeff Jarrett was a solid Intercontinental
Champion. Double J was solid.
That's J-E, double F, J-A, yeah, double R-E, double T. That's double J, Jeff Jarrett. Ain't I great? Oh, yeah, I still got it. All right, John.
Baby tonight.
Ooh, okay, the roadie. God, right. Dang, classic. I'll let you wrap us, John, and we'll be back, I believe, next week. But we'll put some videos out. We'll be on Twitter. We'll be on Facebook. The conversation never ends there. Thank you to DCOT for calling. Thank you for our Facebook followers, Justin Powell and Ed Waldersdorf as well for watching. Kelly Birdsong Johnson. Thank you to Nas, our guy, Nas, calling in with his knowledge, blessing us with his presence once again. John, I'll let you wrap us.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting people buzzing me right now. I'm talking about, y'all didn't talk about IndyCar. Yeah, unfortunately, Joseph Newgarden is probably out of contention. He had a big wreck this weekend. He's probably out of contention, man. But, like, you know, it is what it is. Alex Palou Ward is probably going to be, you know what I'm saying, the points champion this year, unless, you know what I'm saying, something crazy happens. But, like, no, man, we had a great show tonight. Episode 265 was another classic, man. How could we do this show without Scott K. Nicholas Insurance? How do you go get your personalized quote? If you don't have any homeowners, life insurance, I think you've got car insurance. Get your personalized quote today at ScottKMichael.com.
Yeah, State Farm was here today, 2 hours ago, doing our quote for our insurance claim.
There you go. So, shout out. You know, so yeah, State Farm is a money. Again, in our other sponsors, Mavericks Customer Support, how can we do the show without them? So, again, shout out to them. Outside of that, man, great show tonight, man. I'm ecstatic. I'm ready to probably chop it up, you know what I'm saying, see what kind of exercise tips that we might have, you know what I'm saying, to kind of feed throughout the machine for the rest of the year. If you didn't chime in, why didn't you? Get on the Facebook live chat, Crossroads Sports. Get on the Instagram story. Get on us. We're on Threads. We're on Twitter, man. So we are out there. You know what I'm saying? It just not right. It just does not. The show doesn't stop just because it's Tuesday or Wednesday night, man. It keeps on going, man. So, but like, no, thanks everybody for watching. Thanks everybody for listening. And like I said, we'll be back next week. Thanks everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.